Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the Grill Room is definitely on our tab. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Welcome to the Grill Room. I'm Bob Bubka. He's Alex Maselli. We're going to be bringing him in just a minute. I'm making an observation here. You know, the Valspar Championship, to me, seems really to come of age, especially this weekend with all the exciting action. Want to get Alex's opinion on that. You know, a couple of years ago, the event in Tampa seemed to be on life support, Alex, but boy, it certainly was exciting this past weekend.
Well, I think, Bob, that when you bring good players in, exciting players, interesting players, they don't all have to be Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson, and I think the tour should learn from what happened at Valspar. The ratings were better on the final day than they were at Doral. And at Doral, you know, obviously you had the best players in the world in the field. Here at Valspar, you didn't. But yet you had a quality field. You had good players up on top. You had a compelling finish, a three-hole playoff. So all the things that people want to watch. And, you know, ran a little later, which is also good if you're a fan of trying to get things after 6 o'clock, like the tour is, and so are most of the television networks. So everything worked fine for them, and you got a great champion in Jordan Spieth, which most people would say is certainly one of the guys that they look at as the future of this tour.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I was just lamenting, I think a couple of weeks ago in one of our earlier editions of the Grill Room, Alex, that boy, when you look closely at Jordan Spieth, you know, much attention, much fanfare, superstar status in a lot of ways, and only one PGA Tour victory. But now he's rectified that, two-time winner on the PGA Tour. Limited number of guys, I think, have accomplished that before they're 22 years old. I know Tiger was one of them. The others escape my mind right now, but still, two wins on the PGA Tour before you turn 22, that is pretty impressive.
Well, I think since 1940, Bob, there's been three other guys outside of Jordan Spieth. One of them is Tiger, obviously. I believe Sergio Garcia was another one. And the third one, which will floor you, is someone that actually won at the Arnold Palmer Invitational that year, would have been Robert Gomez, who won twice that year, once, I think, in Tucson at the Northern Telecom Open, and then also one time here at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So there's only been three guys since 1940 that are 22 or younger that have won twice on the PGA Tour. And obviously, two of the three now, when I'm putting Jordan Spieth in that category, I'll probably go on to or have gone on to very good careers.
Yeah, I mean, it is surprising hearing the name Robert Gomez, but as a youngster, he is certainly somebody that we had our eye on. Well, when we come back, we'll go fire up the jet and go around the world of golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and on Armed Forces Radio, powered by Golf Week.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
If a visit to Orlando is on your vacation menu, then the Grill Room highly recommends the Toscana Resort Orlando by Aston, a luxurious Mediterranean-style villa resort located right in the heart of Orlando, Florida's most popular attractions. Each spacious two- or three-bedroom luxury villa is fully furnished with everything you might need for your exciting vacation. Relax or play in the large swimming pool complex with kids' pool and jet spa, fitness center, restaurant, and state-of-the-art movie theater. Coming to play golf? Champions Gate Golf Club is right next door, and many other courses are close by and available to play, like Buena Vista Golf Course and Grand Cypress Resort. Visit ToscanaResort.com or call 877-448-8722 to make your reservations today.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. We love having you, and it's the place where you can find out what's going on the course and what's going on off the golf course, all heard here on the Grill Room Show. All right, let's head to that first tee. We'll start with the European Tour, Alex, and a familiar name comes out on top once again.
Well, I mean, George Casilla is an accomplished player, not only on the European Tour, but on the PGA Tour. He happened to be playing in his home course down in Pretoria at the Tshwane Open, and obviously got it done, winning his second European Tour win at the 2000. Previous one was at the 2014 Joburg Open, which is also in South Africa. Pretty good win for the South African. And I know, Bob, that it's hard for a lot of the South Africans to play down there when there's so many good events going on up here. But if, in George Casilla's case, if he didn't get into the World Golf Championship, he had no place else to play, so he decided to go play back home.
You know, let me ask you this, Alex. On the surface, you see that one of the professionals is playing an event on his home golf course, so the popular assumption would be, wow, that's a big advantage. It's its home course. But in some ways, it can be more difficult on your home course. More people want tickets. You're expected to do better. All that comes with playing on your home course doesn't necessarily make it easier.
Well, that's right. I mean, you got Sam Saunders this week at Arnold Palmer Invitational. I'm sure you talked to Jack Nicklaus about playing when you used to play at Memorial. There's a lot going on, has a lot of responsibilities. Even if it's not your home course and you're responsible for the event, as Rory McIlroy is going to find out for the Irish Open, it takes a lot of time and effort, and there's distraction, and those distractions can sometimes take away from your golf. In this particular case, for George Casilla, it did not.
And we have some audio from Mr. Casilla. Let's listen to that right now.
It's hard to describe with words, but I mean, this is my home club, and obviously having all my friends and family and all the members out here supporting me, it's a lot of extra pressure, but I decided to kind of turn it into kind of a momentum thing, and in the end it worked out beautifully, and I'm really happy. But yeah, obviously winning at my home club, nothing beats it.
Congratulations to George Casilla. Time now to move, Alex, to the Web.com Tour. Brazil's champions, presented by HSBC. They were down in Brazil. Where'd they play? Have you played there?
I have never been to São Paulo. São Paulo Golf Club, São Paulo, Brazil. A lot of weather problems that week, Bob. A lot of rain. I saw some pictures of a very, very wet golf course, but it didn't seem to faze Pierre Malinotti, who won, I think it was a four-shot. I think he won by four shots, birdieing the final three holes. There was a huge amount of guys in second place, but he won by four shots, taking home $153,000 and jumping to second on the money list down on the web.com. Pretty good move there, because you got to figure at this point, even though we have a lot of time left in the season, if he's second right now, the likelihood is he doesn't have to worry about finishing in the top 30. He will probably have his card for the 2016 PGA Tour season.
Well, it's certainly a big relief when you have that in your back pocket. All right, let's move on to the Valspar Championship. Quite a battle down to the finish. Only the second playoff in the 15-year history of the event. Before we talk about the players, I want to talk to you a little bit about the golf course, the Copperhead golf course. I personally think it's one of the finest golf courses in all of Florida.
Well, it certainly is a testing and demanding golf course, which is a reason a lot of players like to play there. But this year was a difficult year for the conditions of the golf course. Talking to some players this week at Bay Hill that are here on Monday, the greens weren't exactly what they wanted them to be. And in turn, there was an announcement during the week of the tournament where they were going to make a tremendous amount of changes and bring a lot more focus and obviously revenue to the course itself.
Yeah, and of course, we have to give big kudos to the superintendent, Robert Cole. He does a great job down there. They're going to be going into a six-month process, Alex. New fairways, new greens, new contours on the bunkers. Larry Packett, who was the architect, just passed away. But they really want to keep that Copperhead course as one of the jewels in Florida. And I think when they complete this six-month process, that's exactly what it's going to be.
Well, you know what happens, Bob, over time. And Larry Packard, as you said, he died last year. He lived on the golf course until he died. He was over 100 years old. But they're going to go back. They're going to go look at pictures and maps and everything they can find about the original design. And they will try to bring it back to that. And usually what happens over time is mowing patterns change. You know, you just have to be a little lax on mowing a green, and then all of a sudden a place that used to be a green is now not a green. It's the collar or it's rough, and then slowly that happens. The greens get smaller, and then just from the nature of the sand, bunkers get smaller. They need to be reshaped. They need to be brought back to where they need to be from when they were first designed. So there are a lot of changes that occur to a golf course over time that you have to bring it back to its original design. Sometimes even, Bob, you have trees that just grow over areas that take lines out, certain lines of the architect design to make sure that you can go a certain way in the green. Those lines are inhibited now by trees that grow over in those lines. So there's a lot of things that happen over time, and they're finally going to take this time to go back and renovate it and bring it back to exactly what Larry Packard had designed. And I think it should be tremendous once they get there.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, Alex. Now let's get back to that exciting playoff. Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, and Sean O'Hare. Let me ask you a little trivia question. What does Jordan Spieth and Sean O'Hare have in common?
I have no idea, so let's speed the process up here.
All right. The answer is their first victories on the PGA Tour both came at the John Deere. And matter of fact, I have a cute little story to tell. I was quite friendly with Sean O'Hare while he was just out there, and we were playing at Westchester, and he just finished the event, and he was really down on himself. And I talked to his father-in-law and Steve Lucas, and Steve, I said, "Golly, he played fairly well, Steve. What is he so down for?" And he said, "Well, the problem with Sean, he's a perfectionist. He wants to hit every shot perfect." I says, "That's the worst thing that you can have in your mind when you're playing, golf, and especially high-level tournament golf. You don't need perfection. You just need to get the ball in the hole." So Sean came out of the scoring trailer. We talked a little while, cheered him up a little bit. And then I said to him, ironically, "Are you playing at the John Deere?" And he said, "No, I'm not." And I said, "Yes, you are." He says, "What are you talking about?" I says, "Do you realize that if you play at John Deere and you will give yourself an opportunity to get to the British Open or the Open Championship, to be more precise, and it's going to be held at St. Andrews this year. How can you pass that up?" Lo and behold, he goes to John Deere, wins the event, gets to go to the Open Championship at St. Andrews. So now we fast forward, and he's in a playoff with Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, and Sean O'Hare. I mean, there was some great golf that we witnessed coming down the stretch. I mean, Sean O'Hare played well. Patrick Reed played well. Jordan Spieth obviously played well and then ended it with that 25-foot birdie putt on the third extra hole. But that was golf at its best.
Well, I mean, that's part of the thing. It doesn't. I disagree with the fact that it has to be Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson going down the stretch against each other. You have quality players playing, and the golf is good. I think it speaks for itself. And to be quite honest with you, I thought what was kind of interesting is I thought Jordan Spieth played well in the playoff. I thought Sean O'Hare probably played the best in the playoff. But for some reason, the guy that you would think would be the best of the three, trying to be in a match play situation, which is Patrick Reed, I don't think he had a quality shot practically in the entire playoff.
Yeah, but he had the toughness to hang in there with some remarkable recovery shots. You're right, though. He wasn't firing on all cylinders yet, hung in long enough until Spieth made that putt. Let's listen to our winner, Jordan Spieth.
We both thought we'd have a chance to win this week, and that's all we really needed was just a chance today. I mean, what a struggle at the end there just to find the green after 15, missed that putt. And I played the holes fine. I just picked the wrong lines maybe. And, boy, those putts to close, those up and downs, one on 17 and 18. I mean, looking back, those are maybe a 1 in 5 up and down for me. And they just happened to be my day. You know, I just got really good breaks right at the end, having those land the right way and the putts to fall. Obviously, the one in the playoff isn't one you expect either.
So Jordan Spieth, Alex, goes from 10th in the world to 6th in the world with this win. Boy, oh boy, he just seems to be like a superstar in the making.
Well, let's see. He's 22 years old. He's 6th in the world. We have a woman that's under 18 years old, and she's number one in the world. I'm not sure how we got to this point in golf, considering that most people would say that you need to be out here and get experience and so forth and so on. It seems like none of that matters to some of these kids when they come out here now. Jordan Spieth at 6, by the way, is the second highest ranked American in the world.
I mean, I think that's
crazy.
Yeah, that is pretty impressive stuff. On the other end, you know, Sean O'Hare, back in his prime, he was 12th in the world and then suddenly lost his game. He started this year 474th in the world, climbed up to 401st in the world at the start of Valspar, and now already he's up to 188th place. It doesn't sound like much, 188th in the world, but when just a couple of weeks ago you were 474, 188 looks pretty good.
Well, I mean, it just comes down to him continuing to play well. Doesn't have to finish second all the time, but if he starts making cuts and playing well and getting himself in the mix, he's going to move up very quickly. It won't take him long to pass that Tiger Woods guy, I don't think.
Well, Sean O'Hare, a good guy. We wish him the very best. Well, next on the menu, one of Alex's favorite segments. It's called News and Notes. Please stay with us.
You're listening to The Grill Room. Heard on TuneIn Radio and on Armed Forces Radio, powered by Golf.
The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Love that news and notes music in the background. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. The first item, On the notepad, Alex, there is a review of quite a few numbers, and I think these numbers might surprise some of our listeners. The National Golf Foundation did a survey, came up with the total of 34,011 golf facilities in 206 countries around the world. Wow, that is a lot of golf acreage.
It is, but I actually went back and asked about some of that, Bob, and there's about 20 or so countries that only have one facility in their country, only one facility. And believe it or not, under the guidelines of what the National Golf Foundation came up with, Antarctica has a facility. Now, I find that quite interesting that Antarctica has the same amount of golf courses or golf facilities as Iran and Iraq and Jordan and Syria. So I think that's pretty funny, actually.
Well, I imagine pretty tough playing from the hazards in the Middle East there. But there are, as you pointed out, I think you said 20. I think you meant 50 countries with only one golf facility. Then there's 30 of them with more than 100. And eight outside the USA with more than 500. The big countries obviously being the USA, Japan, Canada, England, Australia, Germany, France, Scotland, South Africa, and Sweden. All right, moving on. Jason Day, Mr. Maselli, joins the RBC team, replacing Hunter Mahan. Any information on that?
No, just that it's... Just that, again, when you get Jason Day in the mix, you got now Brad Snedeker in there, you got Ernie Els, Jim Furyk, Mike Weir, Matt Kuchar, Graham McDowell. I mean, it's a pretty impressive group that are involved with RBC. And really what this comes down to is the likelihood now you're going to see Jason Day at one of the two, or if not both, RBC events, one being in the Canadian Open, which is always the week before, or a week rather after the Open Championship. And then one being the RBC Heritage, which is the week after the Masters. So Jason Day is going to show up at least one of those. But it just continues to be how they are approaching things in the face of RBC out here on the PGA Tour.
Well, we were just talking about Jordan Spieth, 22 years old, getting his name up to sixth in the world. Rory McIlroy, as I understand it, is going to be the new face of EA Sports, the PGA Tour game. Seems like they're targeting the younger demographics.
Well, you can understand that. I mean, when they brought Tiger in, that was part of the thing. Now they're going to bring Rory in. He's the number one player in the world. He will be. I mean, I think if he didn't play another hole the rest of the 2015 season, he'd still be the number one player in the world by the time the season ended. So, you know, I think it's a good bet if you're EA Sports. And, you know, let's be honest, if Tiger Woods is not the draw, per se, as he may have been in the past, especially to the younger demographic.
All right, speaking of Rory McIlroy, I'm sure he's connected in some way here. The Irish Open is going to have Dubai Duty Free as one of its sponsors for that Irish Open. Smacks to me of a connection between Rory and Dubai Duty Free.
Well, Dubai Duty Free is involved in other events worldwide that are not just golf tournaments. And this is their opportunity to go ahead and get involved in golf. And let's be honest, Bob, they're going to be the title sponsor. It's something that they probably wanted to get into golf. There's a lot of involvement with the European Tour in Dubai. So this seems to be a pretty good fit. And, if you're Rory McIlroy, as you've been trying so hard to take this event and really make it a big event, this is a huge step forward for you. He's been actually politicking and lobbying players to participate in it. He's going to get Ricky Fowler to go over there. I think he's trying to get Keegan Bradley. Ernie Els is going to show up. And that's on top of all the other normal European Tour players that are going to go as well. So bottom line is that the Irish Open is going to be a huge, huge event on the European Tour and in golf when it happens.
Speaking of huge, huge event, the first major of the year right around the corner, the Masters frenzy is ramping up. And interesting to note, Golf Digest, Ron Sirach evidently has too much time on his hands lately. He's been digging into the financial aspect of the Masters. You say the numbers, Alex, because you're a lot closer to that pay grade than I am.
Well, I mean, he indicates that this is a digest story. They indicate that the revenue is $115 million. And then after expenses and after taxes, because Augusta National and the Masters is not a, it's not like the PGA Tour. It's not a charitable situation, tax-free and all that stuff, that they're going to make, at the end of the day, net-net, $29.2 million. And I'll be honest with you, A, I'm not sure that number is accurate. I'm not sure it's not higher. And B, that number, if they wanted it to, from the profit number and the expense number, those numbers could be much higher. They could, if they really wanted to, charge CBS more for the rights fees and charge more for tickets and charge more for merchandising. There was a quote in that story that if you charged $100, I think it was, $100 at pay-per-view, the amount of people they would get would far exceed the money that they're getting from CBS to broadcast.
You think that's in the future?
I don't think for the Masters it is. Let's be honest. The 90-plus or the 100-plus million dollars that the USGA got from Fox, that's for 13 events on an annual basis. I don't know if Augusta National could get that kind of money, but I think they could get a pretty healthy check if they wanted to from another network, if they were willing to, or from CBS themselves. But their goal has never been about the money. And you can go all the way back and look at the event itself. It's never been about the money. It's always been about putting out a quality event and putting together a quality situation for the players. And, you're never going to go to Augusta National and hear them say, we had problems with the Tiff Eagle this year, and so the greens aren't going to be as good as they usually are, or the fairways aren't going to be as good as they are, or this or that. You're never going to hear any of that. They are going to do everything possible, whatever money they need to spend, on making it the best golf experience in the world. That's what they're going to do, and that's what they're always trying to do.
And I don't care how many years you go down there, if you talk to people as they're walking out and it's been their first time at Augusta and you say, well, was it everything that you thought it would be? You would get an overwhelming number of people say it far exceeded my highest expectation. And I think that's the way that people at Augusta National like to keep it.
Well, they know they're entertaining. It's an entertainment thing as well as everything else. And, I mean, let's be honest, what they've done now is they've gotten past, if you take a look at Augusta National 20 years ago, the facility and the property itself, and you look at it now, and then you look at it 20 years from now, it's going to be so different because they bought all those houses and torn them all down, and they're going to change the road, and they've already added Berkman's Place, and they're going to add other things, and they're continuing to make this thing. It's like the Disneyland for golfers. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And back in the day, when somebody said, we're going to Disneyland, the issue wasn't how much it cost. The issue was, we're going to go to Disneyland because we got an opportunity to go to Disneyland. It's exactly the experience that Augusta National is trying to create.
And I just wonder if anybody besides Dan Jenkins and myself remember covering the Masters with the media center being a Quonset hut. I mean, that's how far this event came. I'll never forget that first year going down there, and I asked for the media center, and they told me it was around the corner. And it was a little Quonset hut, and it was plenty of room because there wasn't that many media. Speaking of plenty of room, is there going to be an empty spot where Tiger Woods would be playing in that Masters? It's worth discussing at this late juncture. I got an idea how you feel about it, Alex, but maybe our listeners, I'm sure our listeners would love to hear if you think he's going to be there or not.
Well, I don't think he's going to be there. I think I've been relatively consistent about that. I just don't think he's ready. And I've talked to players that hear different things and so forth and so on, and there's just no good indication that Tiger Woods is ready to play golf at that level at the Masters. There's just no indication of that. And the fact that he skipped this week, somebody said to me,
do you think he skipped because of the greens here? And I go, no, I just don't think he's ready. And they go, yeah, I don't think he's ready either. And I don't see how he's going to get ready to play at Augusta National in 3 weeks. I just don't see it.
Well, you know, the problem is compounded, obviously, by the fact that, you know, one of his major concerns, certainly at the top of the list, is having the chipping yips. And if you're not in a tournament, you can't duplicate that feeling to know whether you can overcome those chipping yips. And, you know, you go to Augusta National, and if you got the chipping yips, it boy, you might end up drowning yourself in the pond at that 12th hole, because if one place, one golf course where you needed, you know, nerves of steel to chip well, it would be Augusta National. And what we saw of Tiger at his own event and a couple of events where he tried to play, San Diego and Phoenix briefly, you know, there was no indication that, you know, those chipping yips weren't ruining his game.
Well, first of all, I mean, I agree with you about drowning yourself on the 12th hole. That's only, and hopefully that's because he would start off on the back side, because I don't think he'd want to go through the entire front nine and have to wait to get to 12. But that being said, look, this is not the same player that won 14 majors and had won numerous green jackets and had won 70-plus times on the PGA Tour. That is not the player that you see when the name Tiger Woods comes up. And seeing what he's been able to do, or maybe I should say seeing what he's been not able to do, there is just no clear indication that he will be able to come back from this in a short period of time. This is a reconstruction project, and not only physically reconstruction, but mental reconstruction. And I think it's going to take a while. And would it surprise me if Tiger Woods did not show up on a golf course with a club in his hand in the remainder of 2015? The answer would be no. It would not surprise me. And I think if he misses the Masters, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are saying, there's no way we could ever know when he's going to return. He could end up being like Howard Hughes out here, and you won't see him for a while.
You know, it's amazing, Alex. It wasn't too long ago, Tiger Woods with 79 PGA Tour victories, four shy of the all-time mark of 83 held by Sam Snead, 14 majors, four shy of the 18 won by Jack Nicklaus. There were very few pundits who covered the game that didn't really believe that, well, Sam Snead's not going to be able to hold on to his record. Jack Nicklaus is not going to be able to hold on to his record. And now, just a couple of years later, a couple of injuries later, some yips later, you know, winning five more times on the PGA Tour, boy, that's a big ask. And winning five more majors seems like an impossible task.
No, I agree. And I know our executive producer went on and listened to some of the stuff that Nota Begay's friend talked about Tiger, and spent some time with Tiger, and he confirmed basically that his working issues are lingering. And I just think that, you know, the amount of time and effort it's going to take to fix that is really a lot. It's astronomical, the amount of time he's going to have to take. And he's got a lot of other things on his plate, including his kids. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, and Tiger Woods probably needs to step away for a while and just go do whatever he does that doesn't include golf, and then maybe at some point come back to it. Because right now, I think that he's just going to push himself further and further away from competitive golf if he keeps trying.
Well, to be continued is all I can say. Well, that's it for the most up-to-date insider news and notes. Our feature interview that I had an opportunity to speak to the 2014 Golf Course Superintendents Association of America President Keith Iams.
And that's next. You're listening to The Grill Room. Heard on TuneIn Radio and on Fort Ann on Armed Forces Radio, powered by Golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. from the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
If a visit to Orlando is on your vacation menu, then the Grill Room highly recommends the Toscana Resort Orlando by Aston, a luxurious Mediterranean-style villa resort located right in the heart of Orlando, Florida's most popular attractions. Each spacious two- or three-bedroom luxury villa is fully furnished with everything you might need for your exciting vacation. Relax or play in the large swimming pool complex with kids' pool and jet spa, fitness center, restaurant, and state-of-the-art movie theater. Coming to play golf? Champions Gate Golf Club is right next door, and many other courses are close by and available to play, like Buena Vista Golf Course and Grand Cypress Resort. Visit ToscanaResort.com or call 877-448-8722 to make your reservations today.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Well, he's the 2014 president of the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, Keith Eames. And Keith, let me begin by saying you're the president of an organization that I don't personally feel gets the credit they deserve for the job they do in this game of golf.
Well, I thank you for saying that. Sometimes our superintendents feel that way, too. We're kind of the unsung heroes. We're a little bit behind the scenes, but we do a very important job. We get that playing field ready for the players. So we think we do good work, and many times we're recognized, but many times we're not.
You know, Keith, over the last, I don't know, dozen, 15 years, whatever the case may be, the challenges seem to be getting greater because you hear outcries about too much use of chemicals on golf courses, use of too much water on golf courses. But your organization is right on top of all of those factors, trying to minimize the amount of fertilizer, trying to minimize the amount of water that's used, and how are we doing along those lines?
Well, you're absolutely right. We're using less inputs all the time. And one of the other reasons, other than it's the right thing to do from an environmental standpoint, we have some financial responsibility to our facilities to produce a product at a price point that will allow our golfers to play. So I think overall we're doing very well. Obviously, there's some facilities that have been on TV recently that show it to one extreme success level, but almost every golf course that I've known is doing some level of minimizing water, minimizing products, trying to keep their costs down and still producing great products.
And, of course, it's always a fine line between what the membership wants to spend to give you the money to do the job that your members want to do.
Well, that's absolutely true. And in some cases, at some of the clubs, it's actually the superintendent doing a job of telling their members that we don't have to have the lush green all the time to have great playing conditions.
Keith, it's been a pleasure. You've been a great president. I know you've been working on the board for like 8 years or so. So when you get off, just enjoy yourself. Job well done.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
We're back in the Grill Room, Alex Maselli, and our most recent interviewer, Bob Bubka and Keith Eames. We want to thank Keith Eames for taking the time. Big get being down there talking to him, Bobby, during the superintendent show, and certainly an interesting person. And, you know, there's a lot going on if you're a superintendent, and if you're in charge of the organization, there's certainly a lot going on.
Well, you're right about that, Alex. Keith happens to be from Arkansas, but it was inspirational talking to him. He just loves everything connected with, you know, being a golf course superintendent. It's long hours, little recognition, not nearly the amount of pay that they deserve, but the people that are in those positions, they love doing it, and you see it when you see the quality of the golf courses that they maintain. All right, what's next on the schedule? The LPGA, they're finally back. What and where are they going to be doing it?
The JTBC Founders Cup in honor of the LPGA Founders. Kari Webb is defending at the Wildfire Golf Club at the JW Marriott Phoenix Desert Ridge Resort and Spa, not too far from where TPC Scottsdale is. The LPGA, as it says, was founded in 1950 with a schedule of 14 events. And then, of course, it has gone bonkers since then. They are going to be, they had 13 original founders. And I think, Bob, this year, I think it's Donna Capone, Judy Rankin, and I want to say Hollis Stacey. I don't know if that one is right, but they're all being honored that this week at the LPGA Founders.
Well, they deserve to be honored. Long trip if you want to play on the web.com tour.
The Chile Classic? Oh, I don't think Santiago's too far. I was there actually a long time ago. It's a pretty nice place. Alex Hadwin won last year, now on the PGA Tour from Canada. So Matias Dominguez, winner of the inaugural Latin American Amateur Championship, got a busy couple weeks. He's down, the Texas Tech senior will be down on a sponsor's exemption this week down there, his hometown of Santiago. And then, of course, 2 weeks later, he's got that exemption because of that win in the Latin American Amateur Championship. He's going to have that spot at Augusta National and the Masters.
And the Champions Tour, going back to a great place, Tucson, Arizona. Boy, do they love their golf there. And what a great selection of golf courses. This is going to be the Tucson Conquistadors Classic, and it's going to be held at the Omni Tucson National. Played there, loved it, beautiful place. Used to cover when the old Tucson Open was held there. Jasper Parnevik. Alex, can you believe it? He's making his debut on the Champions Tour, and he'd be celebrating at the same time 30th year of playing professional golf. Wow. Happy belated birthday. It was just last week on March 7th. Congratulations to Mr. Parnevik.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but, you know, it's interesting to see, A, going back to these venues that these guys used to play in when they were PGA Tour events, and then, B, starting to see the guys that we have known for a long time, Bob, and you take Jesper Parnevik, who's been a professional for 30 years. He's now turning 50 and going on to the Champions Tour. I don't know how you take a look. You take a look in the mirror sometimes and you wonder what happened all that time we just lost.
Well, he's also got a reality show in Sweden. I think just putting a camera wherever Parnevik goes and with his family, I'm sure that show is going to do very, very well. All right, now the last stop, the PGA Tour. Last stop in Florida this year, the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard. Stella Field, Matt Avery defending, and it's extra special because 85-year-old Arnold Palmer comes into the media room this week, presents the champion with his award on that 72nd hole. Just a special, special week on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, pretty good field this week. Rory McIlroy coming for the first time to Bay Hill. Jason Day, Ernie Els, Ricky Fowler, Padraig Harrington after his win a couple weeks ago. Graham McDowell, Hunter Mahan, Louis Oosthuizen, Bubba Watson, Ian Poulter, and Adam Scott along with Sam Saunders and Paul Casey and Daniel Berger. It's a pretty good field. They have a brand new golf course superintendent that's been here since July, Chris Flynn, who's been in the area for about 10 years. He's done some tremendous stuff on this golf course. Went back and looked at a lot of different things on the golf course in regards to the maps and photos. Tried to bring the golf course back to the original redesign that Arnold Palmer had done to it over 30 years ago. Took out like 5 acres of rough and put fairway back in. So you'll see a lot of cases where the fairway's going to run right into the bunker, versus before you would have a strip or two of rough between the bunker and the fairway. That's all going to be gone now. Put some new sand in to add to the old sand. It's going to stop a lot of the fried eggs or the buried lies that they've had in the past. Unfortunately, those are the two things that he's been able to do. The third thing is that he's not been able to change the grass yet. And the grass here this week is not as good on the greens as I'm sure Arnold Palmer would like. It's Emerald Dwarf, which they put in 2009, that didn't really work out. They're going to change it to Tiff Eagle this summer, But this week, the grass is going to be the grasses on the green are being a bit questionable. They'll be a little slower than they had anticipated. We're going to have some issues with trying to find some hole locations because of some mud on some of the greens. But the bottom line is, Bob, as I've always said, they all play the same course. Somebody's going to walk away with over $1 million at the end of the week, and that person is not going to complain about the green speeds or how the golf course plays.
Yeah, we want to wish the best of luck to Chris Flynn, the new superintendent down there, has a wonderful reputation. Alex, later on this week, you're going to have an opportunity to talk to Arnold Palmer. I think that'll be coming up on Wednesday. He's now 85 years old. Can't wait to get your report on the next edition of the Grill Room.
Well, you know, Bob, I saw him at La Trobe in June of last year, and I'd have to say he wasn't exactly as spry as I'd hoped he'd be, but we're now here back in March again, and he's here, and I'm hearing good reports, so that's good. But at 85, you know, I mean, he's had a great life, and we hope he lasts for a lot longer, but it's difficult. Look, anytime he's, you know, he hasn't been able to play golf, he's struggling on being able, he had taken a fall in December and hasn't been able to swing a club, but he still says no matter what, he's going to hit the opening tee shot at Augusta National for the Masters. But there's only a couple guys now in golf that everybody stops for, and Arnold Palmer is one of them. And so every year that we come here and there's an Arnold Palmer here, we're very, very grateful.
Yeah, it's going to be a special occasion, and as you said, we have had the luxury of being involved with truly a national treasure in the world of golf, in the likes of Mr. Arnold Palmer.
That wraps up this week. You're listening to The Grill Room. We're on TuneIn and Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by GolfWeek.com. By the way, The Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and, of course, on our website, TheGrillRoom.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, and to GolfWeek.com. So for Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bubka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.